Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please acknowledge them. These are very, very tough times for our men and women in uniform. Even today, there was 10 young men whose lives were taken and so that we could have the life that we have and freedom we have. This week alone, we had 9 police officers killed. So if you see somebody, please take the time to acknowledge them. Tonight's program is dedicated to a young man who was very close to our hearts, a tremendous boxer at the top of his class. 1 year ago yesterday, he was out running, doing his road work just prior to going into the gym to work out, and when he walked in the door, he died right on the floor. Thank God there was a trained professional there who brought him back, and he went into the hospital, had some heart surgery, and then had to have a defibrillator put in later on. But so we want to really relish the time we spend with Edner Cherry Bomb Cherry. He's a tremendous guy, one of the three people that are, I could actually say, are my heroes. Four, if you count my dad, my son Bob, Edner Cherry, and Coach Mel. So Edner was going to be with us tonight, but he had a family occasion that he had to attend. But he will be with us in the very near future. Well, guys, we got a big fight tonight. What do you think, C?
Hello? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome back, G.
Hey.
So, okay, Z, we need you to break it down for us. Who you think's on it? I'm going to be doing it tonight. Will it be Wilder or will it be Fury?
Well, as I said, I'm pretty sure 2 weeks ago, I put it, I think, the way I've always said it. Tyson Fury coming into the first fight was coming off of a 2-year layoff, and he fought two lesser quality, I don't want to say too much like this, but lesser quality opponents. And then he saw the champion. And he fought to a draw, which I thought was pretty accurate. It was pretty much a draw for the most part. I didn't have a problem with that. That was after that. And I said then that Wilder doesn't need to see Tyson Fury again. Tyson Fury is a 6'9" guy who could kind of do it all in the ring. And we saw this in several fights. We saw him outbox from the outside side of Vladimir Klitschko. We also saw that when he had to impose his size and his strength, that he did that with Stephen Cunningham and his last opponent. Forgive me for forgetting his name. But when he got cut, he started bringing the fight downhill to the guy, started coming in, leaning on him, putting the 6'9", 260-plus frame on him. So, I mean, Tyson Fury, he's a guy who's going to win rounds, period, on anybody. The thing with this is, he's an experienced navigator going through the most dangerous waters ever. That's exactly who he is. And you don't know if he's going to kill the whale or the whale's going to kill him. And the thing is this, you can see boxing wise, technically Tyson Fury is pretty good. He's pretty good technically. The only thing is, as good as you are technically, you have to survive 12 rounds of not getting hit with that. And it's not like Deontay Wilder isn't a experienced navigator himself, but he's a shark. I mean, he's seeking to end the fight, period. He's seeking to eat you alive, period. And 12 rounds is a very, very long time to avoid that, especially against a guy who knows how to get it there and has the physical attributes to get it there. Deontay Wilder's quicker than Tyson Fury. He's quicker. His feet are quicker. His hands are quicker. The technique, you can say what you want about technique, but, I think a lot of that is the ruse. Technique was this and this, and then, bam, he hits you with something sharp. So I can't exactly take that away. I'd pick Tyson Fury, but it would not surprise me in the least if he got knocked out, because he spent his get-up card as far as I'm concerned. He's not getting up again if Deontay hits him like that.
Good. What do you think, Bob?
100%. I always follow Zito. The Tyson Fury is a big guy. You know what I mean? He's versatile. I'm not the big boxing guy. I haven't watched all this stuff with you guys, but the few times I've seen him, I'm impressed. I'd leg kick him. You know what I mean? Like that. I got nothing. I can't keep him away from me. He's a big dude. I'd leg kick him. You know what I mean? He's coming heavy.
Sure, yeah.
So I can't. You know, you're asking me to cross over here. And I gotta pick a favorite, but that's a big bro, and I gotta take out his legs. I don't want to fight him, you know. So that's where I'm at on that one.
All right, let's go over to your side then. Bob Arum keeps pushing a McGregor Crawford fight. Would that happen? Number one, and number two, if it did, is Crawford's fist faster than we saw McGregor? I've never seen him hit people like he did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
he looked like a boxer.
I'm still my tail's still stuck tucked on that one. I'm a huge Cerrone fan. He's a badass. You know, he's a solid dude. I've met him a couple times. Real down to earth. But the problem with Cerrone, he's taking fights every other month. Man, the guy will just show up. And the warrior, that's neat. But in the real grand scheme of money making, not the best call. You know what I mean? You've got two options there. Go for the money fight. Now, I don't know. I mean, I can't take anything from McGregor. He's a fantastic fighter. He's got a way about him. He's got an arrogance. I rode that McGregor train all the way up till he punched the old dude. Over a bottle of liquor. That's what I have to get off. I was on the John Jones train up until he wrecked into that girl and ran away. You're at a certain level. You gotta act that way. You can't be a thug anymore. You know what I mean? And so that's where I was at with that. And so, I mean, it's the same thing. It feeds into all of these fights, you know, anymore. Back in the old days, we had, you know, Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell or Randy Couture and all this stuff. You had good guys and bad guys. Now, almost through like DC and Marvel, we have all these anti-heroes. You know what I mean? It's like they can be bad, they can be good. We're not sure which side we're on the fence. Okay. Now it's the same thing, you know, with what happened with Jorge Masvidal and Usman today or yesterday. You know what I mean? It's all kind of a bumping shoulders. You know, I think we're all stuck in a, you know, 1,500 square foot place with 1,000 people. Everyone's got a touch. It's how you touch. You know what I mean? It's how you're coming across. Are you trying to get through or are you trying to be an a-hole? You know what I mean? And the top fighters are trying to get – so if I can segue from the McGregor and that stuff, because I hope that happens. I mean, I just want to see McGregor back in the ring. But until McGregor comes out of or makes up for what he did, you know, you don't punch an old guy over some liquor in a bar. You just don't do that.
Right.
I mean, we're not 20 years old. We're not 20 years old. We're not 15. We're not 18.
Right.
You know,
right.
We can't control our emotions. We can't control our thoughts. You can control your actions. That's the only thing we have control over. To think of anything else, you're a little silly. All right? So that's just my opinion. Okay? We all have those thoughts. So, but it's how you react. And a lot of life is action and reaction. You know what I mean? So, anywho. You know, building to the Jorge Masvidal, and so Dana White said something the other day about how Jorge's coming out of Miami. That's where the Super Bowl is, and it's about time we had somebody there. Just stroke Usman the wrong way. So Usman, you know, he posts his whatever online, trying to, you know, he's trying to, you know, stand up for himself. He's toughy tough. The guy, you can't take anything from him. 16-1, 11-0 in the UFC. He's doing a well job. I mean, he's a badass. You can't take that from him. But then also, you also got Jorge Masvidal. He's coming off of Ben Askren, Diaz, he's the BMF. So Jorge's going to come across as the BMF. And if Jorge Usman says something, Jorge's going to react. And if Usman, you know, Usman tends to try to be the more professional of the two, but Masvidal is playing his role. That's his role. You know, he's team material as he's coming at you.
So the face-off that they had, and they almost came to blows on Tuesday afternoon at FanFest. You think that was all hyped up for publicity purposes to get the people to watch the fight, come to the fight?
I think if you listen to the interviews, it will answer itself, and this is why I say this, okay? So at one point in the interviews, Masvidal says, look, he goes, there's a target on number one. There's a target on number two. There's a target on the way all the way down to number 15. We all got targets. I'm trying to maximize my profit, whoever I fight. It doesn't matter who I fight. So, again, as a fan, if it gets emotional, I'm in. You know, it's just – you're selling it, and that's part of the game. You know what I mean? You can't. It's unfortunate. You can be a phenomenal fighter and just blah or just no attitude and do okay, or you can be a mediocre fighter and have this rambunctious attitude, and people will follow you. So it's tough for the promoters. It's tough for the fighters. I'm backing up Jorge the whole way, because he's kind of the underdog, but he's the biggest smack talker until Jorge does something dumb. I can't keep riding the train when you pass that line. I've got a line. We've all got a line. That's how we identify stuff. So that's where I sit on that one. I'm loving to see it happen. It's talking maybe International Fight Week, July in Vegas. Dana White brought up something, talked about Masvidal because he was down in Miami, the Super Bowl down in Miami. It so happened Usman's down there as well. They're all doing interviews. You know, you get a little social media talk back and forth, and if we see each other, we got to play the game. We got to play the game. I jump in my game.
Yeah.
What's
you
your
know,
thought?
I'm going to go this way, fighting because MMA is a bit more recent than, I mean, the whole, as far as it being circled into a grand thing. Mixed martial arts has always been around, but people, I mean, as far as its popularity and it's being kind of lumped up into, you know, organizations popularity wise, boxing is a bit older, and I would like to say we have syndromes. The Floyd Mayweather or Mike Tyson syndrome to a certain extent. And that being as though you have Mike Tyson who genuinely had issues. He has issues generally. Point blank. I mean, just from birth and upbringing and everything. Understand, Floyd, he also, you know, he had a tough upbringing from a perspective of a lot of inside, you know, dealing with his family. He had a tough upbringing. As far as on the streets, Tyson had to survive on his own. Floyd, if you kind of think about it, he had two uncles who were champions. So I would imagine he didn't need to always come up under street circumstances like Tyson.
I did not know that. That's why I love you.
So when it gets down to that, you have fighters kind of take along, I mean, especially nowadays, being as though those were basically the two most popular boxers to come along recently, fighters are now taking that kind of approach because they saw that these guys became millionaires. Well, Tyson did, but he, you know, we'll talk about his money issues another day. But you know, Floyd, he multimillionaire, just off of the way his image, to where I heard people talk so negative about Floyd. I mean, just negative. but they paid that $75 to watch his fight. So people can say what they want, but, you know, and to get go along with that, now you get to Conor. Conor, he always has been brash, always been has been outspoken. But after that fight with Floyd, Conor went off the hinges. And that leads me to believe that a lot of that is just fabrication. The bus incident with Khabib, the whole everything with Khabib. I'll just put everything with Khabib. You know, then as you alluded to, he's punching guys for not drinking his liquor. all of that just seems fabricated to me. To where a guy like Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz. Those are guys with natural chips on their shoulder. You have a guy with a natural chip on his shoulder. Where he'll cross the line is he'll cross the line maybe doing a little too much, getting a little, you know, getting a little too hype as far as that goes. He's like, now, like, as far as getting out of control lawfully, they might do stupid stuff as far as that. They're not doing, like, fabricated stuff, you know, to make the deal for image or anything, or to deal with their ego as much. You know, these guys just have a chip on their shoulder. They're, you know, cocky guys. Now, a lot of guys to fight and to be successful, they kind of have to be that way. But they're not, you know, it's a difference between fabricated a-holes, if I could say, and guys that are genuinely, you know, kind of have chippish.
All right.
Mike Tyson, Floyd Mayweather thing.
Let me ask you.
Hey, Zeke, can I jump on that real quick?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So I want to verify everything that you just. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I just said go ahead, Dr. Chris.
I want to hear from Chris.
No. I was kidding you.
Oh. Okay. So. Oh, my bad. Because I love. Dr. Chris be saying stuff that just floored me. So I will always take a second tear to him. Like, he will put me on the ground some nights texting you guys like, oh, my God, I'm dying. All right. So the problem I feel coming from an MMA background and the stuff that I've done, all my people, whatever, want to be Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali. Okay, dude, he was such a perfect individual for what he did at the time frame in life. I mean, what a good man. Now, he started the smack talk of any smack talks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think everything developed from there. And then there's, you know, there's boxing. Or if you go way back far enough, pugilism, and then if you know MMA. But if you go back far enough, just pancration. It was, you know, the first sport in the Roman Empire. Okay, so, you know, people fighting to the death. All right, and then you've got WWE. Because we all want to be The Rock. Let's face it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, The Rock is killing it. All right. You know, all those guys with the showmanship and this and that brings that flamboyancy to the game. So when you're coming, you know, Rocky Balboa versus Muhammad Ali wearing the best, you know, the best, what do you guys call those? A little, I don't know. You know, we call us MMA guys call jiu-jitsu guys wearing pajamas because they're in their gis.
Yeah.
Not sure what you boxer guys wear robes. You know, we go in naked. It's hot man-on-man action. So had to twist it there. So, you know what I mean? But everyone wants that flamboyant ride, that stardom ship. And that's where everyone's fighting in between everything. And when Conor did the Floyd Mayweather thing, he got a taste of an upper echelon that most MMA guys will never taste. I can't, as a fighter, I always go back to Pacquiao and Mayweather. That night when they fought, they made more money than at least 17 countries make in a year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to be a good dude when you're making that kind of money. I mean, why else would you do that? I mean, if I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's me, whatever. It's like, you know, if I want to go back in history or whatever, the first pro fight that me and my friend did, he was 10 years my senior. I looked up to him a lot, kind of steered me in a bunch of wrong directions. But anyway, we got paid. We went to Canada from Washington State, and we got paid money to fight. We came back and bought a bunch of apples and sandwich fixings for peanut butter jelly and tuna fish and went and passed them out to the homeless. You know what I mean? Like, because it was free money. You know what I mean? It was free money to us. And then after that, you start just spending, you know, all the security I've worked in my whole life. You know, you see these ball players, you come in, you're 7 foot tall. I'm pretty sure you play ball. You know what I mean? And you come in with 20 guys in your entourage. You don't want to pay cover. You make $1 million a year, you can't throw out $5. You know what I mean? It's like at some point we have to give back. For once you achieve what you've achieved, it's like how much is enough? But anyway, that's my soapbox. I'm off it.
Let me ask you another boxing question. Well, Z, bring us up to date on your fighter that fought in Delaware last weekend up in Hokesson.
Oh, all right. Well, he had two fighters actually from the gym fight, Anthony Dominelli and Kenneth Keats. They both won the fight, their fights, respective fights. And it was a very, very good car, very competitive, good car.
Mm-hmm.
And, be honest, I mean, there's some gyms from New Jersey, a gym from Philly. I'm pretty sure, and I saw Ray Robinson there.
Oh, good.
I think he had a fighter there who won his fight.
The new Ray Robinson.
Nice.
Yes, sir. The new.
The new
there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. On a sad note, in Delaware, I just found out from Chris earlier in the week that Joe Tiberi Sr. Decided to shut his gym down. He said that he was supposed to be getting some help from the county recreation department, but they weren't sending him kids and they weren't helping pay the rent. So Joe has shut down that gym. But that's a real loss because he did a heck of a job for the city and the county and getting those kids off the street. Much to the, not as many as you have at your gym, but then you guys do one hell of a job. And I did talk to Mayor Pazicki the other day, and I was asking him if there's any way that they can find Parks and Rec, find some cash to help you guys out over there. So if you hear from them, let me know, and if not, if you don't hear from him within a couple weeks, let me know, and I'll bust his stone some more.
I sure will. Much appreciated.
Hey, let me ask you, Danny Garcia is calling out Manny or Earl Spence. Of those two, what's your thoughts on either one of those fights?
Well, Danny Garcia, he was supposed to fight Errol Spence. It was slotted to fight. They were, but Errol Spence got into the car accident, and that postponed things. I like that fight, and the reason I like that fight is because the way Errol Spence tends to fight downhillish to bring it. He's gonna have to really, really be careful of that against Danny. Danny Garcia is a fighter to where foot movement, kind of kills him to a certain extent. You have to be a good fighter now, but foot movement kills him. If you could steer Danny. Danny's not really assertive with his feet. He'll rather you kind of bring the fight to him. He works better that way. And Errol will do that. Errol is capable of playing the outside game, but Errol's not an outside fighter. Don't let the Mikey Garcia that job fool you. Mikey Garcia was not going to come near Errol Spence's power, and Errol was basically allowed to operate on the outside against a smaller guy. That's not the case with Danny Garcia. Danny, he's going to operate. He's going to be able in some stretches to operate on the outside, but even then, Errol, he has to. His feet tend to be planted because he's trying to land his hard shots. Danny Garcia punches to the body. He's going to give Errol Spence a taste of what Errol gives other people to a certain extent.
Right.
My question is this: Errol has beat. To me, he's beat Cal Brook. He's beat Sean Porter. So these guys are considered. I don't know. Well, they're. I don't know if at the time Cal Brook was considered better than Danny Garcia, and Sean Porter beat Danny Garcia, so he's considered better. And Errol Spence has beaten both of these guys. It'll be hard to pick against Errol, just because I can see him outworking Danny, but he has to be careful because Danny, he can hit. He can hit. And Danny's crafty. Danny's the kind of guy who will let Errol work, and right in between Errol's work, he'll hit him. Errol is not the most defensively astute guy, to be honest. He's a machine to a certain extent. And sort of robotic. But he's an effective robotic machine. Robots aren't elusive. Robots aren't, they're not the biggest avoiding, entities. So Errol's going to be there to get hit. Danny's also going to be there to get hit too. So it's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be an interesting style matchup to where it's more action than anything. It's going to be an action fight.
Good. I think the one thing with Danny is he doesn't throw a lot of punches.
No.
But when he does, he lands those things. And I wouldn't want to be taking that punishment. But, I'm still amazed at 41 years old, man. He's still number one in the ring. Number two, looking as good as he is and as fast as he is. I certainly wouldn't want to come up against him, but I guess we'll see what happens on that one. But, hey, Bob, let me ask you about Chris Cyborg and her latest win over Julia Budd. What was your thought on that one?
I did not see that fight, but I'll say this: Cyborg's a beast. I've seen her in a lot of previous fights. I don't know. Trying to be funny, not trying to be a jerk. They should probably make a transgender society thing for her. You know what I mean? She's huge. She's huge. I mean, the girl is so strong. Unless they have a solid, jiu-jitsu person or a solid striker or a solid judo artist or someone that's a gold medalist or black belt in some degree, you're just not going to beat her on strength alone. She literally can manhandle people, and that's it is what it is. I'm not taking anything from her. She deserves that. She trains hard, okay? So it's not that she just got that magically. She puts in a lot of work, and that's what people, if I'm picking on somebody, I'm not trying to take apart from the fact that they're probably 6 to 8 hours a day in the gym or more or less. I mean, they're close. They're putting a lot of stuff together. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easy. You have to work for it. So she's a beast. Again, I didn't see the fight, until she goes back to the UFC against some, top people, I don't see her getting beat.
She had a pretty impressive fight. Right afterwards, it was funny that Ronda Rousey came out, publicly said that she's not worried about being number one anymore because she sees other people stepping up, which I thought was, well, number one, it's out of place for Ronda to actually be humble. And number two,
that's
cool. For a change. But,
yeah.
Go ahead, Z.
Yeah, when you step in that ring or octagon, that's the most humbling place. I mean, that's a truth teller. That's a truth teller. So, I mean, Ronda, as bad as she was, she's been humbled. I mean, she's been humbled, and it's good to hear her. I mean, it's obvious what she said, but it's good to hear her, you know, go that direction.
Yeah.
I think it's humble for any fighter to watch a video of themselves being knocked out when they don't remember going from the ring back to the corner or back to the, you know what I mean? It's like, well, all right. I've really woken back up in the dressing room. Like, did I win? Oh no, they shake their head. Nope.
Hey, Z, what do you think? We got Daniel DuBois versus Joe Joyce on April 18th. Do you have any ideas about that?
Going to tell who's the maybe top of the B minus area of the heavyweight boxing, I'm gonna say. Being as though these guys, if Derek Chisora is a B or even an A minus, these guys are B minus. Maybe I don't want to put them in C categories because that. First of all, I mean, Danny DuBois is a little. He's cleaner than Joe Joyce. Joe Joyce is a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big guy. So and he has. I mean, these guys aren't void of boxing fundamentals. Joe Joyce is not fast, and he's kind of robotic. But I mean, when you're that big and you can hit hard, that's kind of that you can get away with that to a point. To a point until you start seeing higher quality. We're going to see if DuBois is a higher quality. We're going to see if each guy is a higher quality to the other. But, I mean, to match these guys up at this time where they're both kind of coming, it's good for boxing. It's good matchmaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, and really, even matchmaking is always good for boxing.
Right. Good. Now, here's a bomb that was dropped yesterday morning in the trades. Bob, there's a lot of questions about the last McGregor-Cerrone fight, and one of the questions is, was it fixed? What's your thoughts?
Oh, that's a good question. It's on the internet. So I don't see Cerrone taking a fall for anybody. That's just my personal opinion. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cerrone's a bad... I'll still say this, Cerrone's a badass. He takes too many fights, but I'm a Cerrone fan all day. I've met him a bunch of times, or a couple times in Colorado. Good dude. McGregor just came out and shined. I mean, there's no taking away from the guy that can fight. He can fight. He's got a weird style about him. He can throw kicks. He can throw punches, you know, spin stuff. All that kind of stuff. Mentioned last week, you know, give a plug to one of my trainers over at Title. She threw, you know, a bunch of spin kicks and stuff. Like, you know, people over 200 pounds don't usually throw that kind of stuff, but it can happen. Anything can happen, you know. But these lighter people be throwing stuff that's just crazy. And there's no taking away from anyone that's worked that hard to be that good. You know, it's just, it can't. I can't take anything away from him. He's an athlete. He's a trooper, right? WWE guys. I mean, it might not be real, but they're still athletes. They work really hard and they beat themselves up. You know what I mean? Everyone's taking a whooping out there to get that mighty dollar. So, was it a fall? No way, not a fall.
Okay.
I totally agree. I totally agree, especially with the point that Cowboy is not a guy that's just going to go out there and lay down. And watching the fight, it's hard to fix your nose getting broken by shoulders. I mean, you can fix anything you want, but you look at it in slow motion, one shoulder, two shoulder, three shoulder, nose broke. I mean, you see his nose just go. I mean, I don't think he's willing to go ahead and pick a fall that way. So,
right.
I mean,
no.
after that, he was disoriented. I mean, his nose was broken. He's a little disoriented. Then Conor started dropping fist bombs on him. That's kind of what happened. You can't fix a fight like that. So, I mean, that's just, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the same that same frame of mind, Anthony Durrell had something to say in the trade this week about Kovalev. He said he thought he took a dive in the Canelo fight. How about that one?
To reiterate, it's hard to take a dive when somebody's hitting you clean. When you're sitting up there, you're jabbing, you're working hard to keep a guy away from you, and the few shots the guy lands are really, really effective because he's kind of placing them. And you're getting tired, you're getting a little worn out, and he's just stepping up the pressure little by little, and then he kind of puts it on you in a burst that knocks you out. When you watch the fights, you don't fix, fights like that. You know, fixed fights are a little simpler, and they don't last as long. You're not going to draw it out to fix it. So, and as I say, when you watch the fight, and especially with guys who know what happens, know the effect of punches and all of that, you can't fix stuff like that. You can't fix those impacts.
I have to jump on that, too, and say this. Anybody that thinks a fight is fixed when our nose is broken has never had their nose broken. There ain't enough money.
No.
There ain't enough money, man. You can't breathe for a week. How late you can get to the doctor so you can breathe again. Everything's a struggle. Like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Bob, let me ask you another question that I picked up from Dana White. He seems to be pushing a McGregor-Nate Diaz 3. Would that come off? And if it does come off, what do you think would be the result?
Dana wants his money. I'd pay. That's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the simplest form, right there, I'd pay to see it. Dana's a promoter. Promoters are out there to get paid. That's their job. I mean, for everyone to think that people are out there doing anything in your best interest is just silly.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's trying to get their money. So if Conor comes out strong and does his thing, awesome. I'd pay.
Okay. And Z, I got another one for you. Now, this is a double question. It's the same question, but it's Luke Keeler says he's going to take Demetrius Andretti to the floor. Andretti says he's going to stop Keeler. He's going to take him not only to the floor but take him to the doctors. What's your thoughts on either one? Who's going to win that fight?
Both guys are wrong. Luke's not going to be able to get to Andre because Andre's not going to try to have anybody get to him, and he's going to fight a basic point win. That's the only way. Andre is a guy that, he's proven to be quality, but he hasn't, fought anybody of the real top rank in the middleweights because, he's a guy that, he's a long southpaw who avoids contact and really kind of just tries to touch here and there for the win. And that's just difficult to fight. That's difficult to fight, and you'll never look good fighting a guy like that. Even if you win, you're not going to look good, and you're going to just waste a lot. It's going to be difficult, just the energy wasted trying to get to him. So, fighting guys like that, they're frustrating. Just guys who are not trying to, I don't want to say mix it up, but they're trying to, touch and get out, and always keep themselves safe. And, not to say that's not a good tactic. If it works, it works. But that's just frustrating. It's just frustrating to watch sometimes, not saying a guy needs to go out there and slaughter himself for the entertainment of people. The object of fighting, period, is usually to hit and not get hit. But, I mean, you do have to take risk to a certain extent. I mean, you are in a fight. I mean, I understand it's a sport. Or no, not really. It's a competition. I don't call any fighting thing a sport. But you do have to hit people and put yourself out there to be hit. So, and Andre is a guy who really kind of minimizes both. And so, yeah.
All right, well, let me ask you another question. Anthony Joshua and Pulev have finally come to a contract agreement to fight on, I guess it might be Memorial Day, May 30th. What's your thoughts on that one?
That could be a good fight. I would pick Joshua right now just because he's fresher. But Pulev is a big, experienced guy. And, I mean, Joshua right now, he's good, but he's not clean. And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, Deontay Wilder's technique. When I sit back and look at Joshua, he tries to do everything perfect. And in doing that, he's still robotic. He's not fluid at all. He's really, I don't want to say too technical. He's technical outside of a human form almost. And he's not a defensive. You know, he doesn't really think defense a lot either, except for maybe with his feet against a smaller guy. Pulev is going to be a guy he might not. He may have to reach on Pulev, but size-wise, he might be a little taller, but they match up, you know, pretty good size-wise, which would make it a little more difficult to make. If Pulev doesn't go out there and just get blown out, then he can make it a grueling fight. I picked Joshua, as I said, because he's fresher, but, I mean, Pulev's not a pushover unless he goes out there and gets pushed over.
Okay. And Bob, Junior DeSantis took a TKO from Curtis Blaydes last week. Do you have any idea on that fight?
No, I didn't get a chance to see that one. But DeSantis, I like him. I don't know anything about Blake. I got to leave it there.
We get one last one for Z. Demetrius Andrade, of course, is expecting to win this fight with Keeler, and so he's thinking ahead as he always does, and he's calling out Jamal Charlo and Billy Joe Saunders. Of either one, either one is going to be a tough fight for him, but. Which one would you pick for him if you were his trainer?
Well, Demetrius and Billy Joe were supposed to fight maybe a little over a year ago in Boston, in Massachusetts.
Right.
But Billy Joe tested positive for a banned substance, and he hasn't been made 160 cents. So I'm pretty sure him and Billy Joe are kind of off. Charlo. Now, as far as Charlo's concerned, that would be a fight that I would want to see, one of the few Andre fights I would want to see because he's stepping up in competition. With that said, as far as how the fight would go with him and Charlo, I would rather see him and Billy Joe. If they could match weights, I would rather see that. I think it'd be a more interesting fight. Charlo, I think that he wouldn't be able to touch Andre. He'd be frustrated. The thing with, and these are both Charlos, they're explosive. They're not the slowest, and they hit pretty hard, but they fight in one gear. They fight in sixth gear all the time. They don't drop it to four. They don't, you know, vary their thing up. They're always tense. That, I mean, that it's always that. And like a lot of that, they tend to be 1-2 guys too. They tend to 1-2, and when your game, even as explosive as you are, and your game is predicated on that, and you don't vary that up, well then, I mean, you tend to have holes in your, you know, you tend to have holes in your offense, your defense. Their defense is high guard, move straight back. As I say, they're good and they're dynamic, but they're basic. They're extremely basic. Muhammad Ali was a 1-2 guy. he was a 1-2 guy. Larry Holmes was a 1-2 guy, but they varied their punches. They changed their timing up. They didn't throw with steam all the time. They would slow certain punches up so you could engage their speed. not all the time, or their speed at the moment. You know, they would throw a lot of feints and fakes, and you would engage their timing. The Charlos aren't like that. They're just straight ahead at you. And, I mean, they're straight 1-2 at you. And once you get to once you start fighting like real good fighters and not that a season, you have trouble with that. The younger brother Charlo was having trouble with Tony Harrison until they caught Tony Harrison's chin. That's how it is.
You know, as long as I get both you guys on here, there's always been a question in the mind, I know some of our listeners, the difference between Muay Thai, how you train for Muay Thai, and how you would train for MMA or UFC. And I know you're a devotee of Muay Thai, Z. Can you explain the difference?
Well, I basically was trained at a Muay Thai gym. Was training fighters at a Muay Thai gym for 2 years. MMA is all around. Muay Thai is a lethal standing striking art. It's a lethal, like you're training your body to essentially be as hard as nails. You see videos of Muay Thai guys kicking poles and trees down. That's not fake. I mean, these guys are every day they're kicking bags with nails and rocks in them. You know, and they're kicking them full to build up their shins, their elbows, their forearms. So these guys are, I mean, they're every point of their body is a weapon. With MMA, you have to watch everything. You can incorporate Muay Thai and MMA. Cowboy has a Muay Thai, a very good Muay Thai background. You can incorporate it in MMA, but once a guy grabs you, you could do certain things on your feet with Muay Thai. But once you hit the ground, it's kind of hard to employ Muay Thai. And with MMA, you have to deal with the whole aspect. If you can get a guy before he grabs you, that's good. That's fine. That's why you train stand up. Every fight starts standing up. But many a times, you're going to get skin to skin with a person. So now you have to worry about judo. You have to worry about basic wrestling. You have to worry about some Muay Thai. But then once you hit the ground and you guys are on, you know, off of your feet, now you have to worry about wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's all sorts of things. You know, still judo. It's all sorts of aspects you have to worry about with MMA. To where Muay Thai, I mean, you're on your feet. That's dangerous. It's simple dangerous.
But?
I 100% agree with everything Z said. Muay Thai, to break it down, means the art of eight limbs. Now, we know two arms and 2 feet, so it's bringing in the knees and the elbows. It changes everything, but it is a stand-up martial art. Now, if you go to the history of MMA, okay, so a lot of people get confused with the fact that Brazilian jiu-jitsu, okay, so jiu-jitsu originates from Japan. The Japanese had this fighting hand-to-hand stuff down pat, and then a real estate agent went out to Brazil, got tied up with the Gracies. I don't know the whole story. I don't want to ruin it. You know what I mean? But that's how they got taught. Now, at that point, the Gracies develop their own thing into BJJ. Now, BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, is different than Japanese Jiu-Jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu does more leg locks and stuff like that versus BJJ. Doesn't like that. They say they incorporated a little bit of American wrestling and a little bit of American boxing. I haven't seen that yet. But anyway, and then us MMA guys. So if you go back into the day when it first started, you know, first UFC was in Colorado. And they started, and the Gracies came out, and it was new. They were beating people, and they were destroying people for a couple of seasons. You know, back in the day when we had one fight every couple of years or every other year versus one every weekend, okay? And they were doing well. And then the wrestlers came in. The American wrestlers came in and dominated because the American wrestlers have such a good stability. Our listeners out there, like if your kid's six, throw them in wrestling, you know, get him started. It's something that'll help, but it's not the end all be all. There's not one sport that's end all be all, okay? And everyone thinks they can do the one and be the best, okay? And then, so the wrestlers ran it for a while. Then my coach, Maurice Smith, proud as hell, plugged him. You know, he came out and knocked out Mark Coleman with a head kick, okay? And then everyone was like, wow. Striking has something to do with it too. It's not about this up close contact. So then that brought that back in. But then if you go back to the original, you know, first 10 UFCs, okay, everyone had a moniker. They were coming in with jiu-jitsu, boxing, karate, everyone wanted to prove their sport, okay? And I'm not taking anything from the true martial arts. If you got more than six belts, you're Americanized, you're trying to make money, I'm throwing it out there, but you're coming down to teach a skill, but again, your skill is not absolutely the best. It does work in certain situations, but katas are performed martial arts stances that someone has to attack you in a direct way for that to work. Versus MMA, you're combining ground fighting, close clinch, Muay Thai fighting, faraway striking, boxing, pugilism, kickboxing, and then you get to the ground, judo, sambo, the transition, American wrestling, get on the ground, then you have the BJJ. You can't just be good in one anymore. Now, having said that, Ronda Rousey came out as a gold medalist in judo. She messed everyone up, or silver, sorry, my wife just corrected me. Silver medalist, doing great, throwing people down. And everyone tried to beat Ronda's way. You can't beat someone where they're good. If you're going to do MMA, it starts with mixed martial arts. You got to take someone where you're the best and not them. If you're a grappler, I'm not going to the ground. You're a striker, I'm doing just the opposite of what you're good at, so I have a chance. And that's it. Now, again, going back to boxing, that's why you got to love boxing and the purity of that. Those are guys just using their footwork and hands. And so many people pass up the footwork. If you're concentrating on the hands of boxing, you don't really know what you're doing. And I'm not even a boxer. You've got to be in the right spot for the right shot, baby. You know?
Good.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, we're just at the end of our hour here. I don't want to take up too much of your time up there in Punxsutawney, Bob. And enjoy seeing Phil tomorrow.
We can't even find Gobbler's Knob yet. We're looking for Gobbler's Knob right now.
Don't forget, you got to be up damn early with it.
Oh, it'd be easier to find tonight and then get in the Garmin before 3 a.m. You know, we're not going to get much sleep, just trying to get it all down. So I'm sorry if I'm not really engaged, you know, doing the whole PA thing. Everyone's worried about the Super Bowl, and I'm going to go see a furry rodent.
Well, hopefully, I forget what it is. If he sees his shadow, we get a short winter, or is it the long winter? I keep forgetting.
I don't even know. The wife said long winter. I don't know. I know nothing. But they make a big deal of this on the East Coast. I'm enjoying it.
Let me talk to your wife. She knows more than you do.
Oh, absolutely. That's life in a nutshell right there, baby.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate you. We thank you guys for joining us, especially since you're on the road, and we wish you a very pleasant day tomorrow and a safe trip home.
All right.
Zeke.
Talk to you guys soon next Saturday. Thanks, Zeke.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care now.
Be safe, Bob.
Thanks, Frank.
Zeke, you want to lead us out?
Sure. Do another wonderful show. Definitely want to thank Bob. Want to thank you, Butch, and all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. And if anybody wants to have any Fighting Words, please do call. Go Chiefs.
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you realize it or not, but one of the smartest kids that I have ever run into, two of them, their brothers from Wilmington, have done a fantastic job. Their father did a fantastic job bringing them up, and they've done a fantastic job living through his legacy and making a legacy of their own, and that would be Ty and Zito. And we appreciate everything you guys do for the show. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there, please make sure that you take the time to let them know that you know they're there. A wink, a handshake, or anything you want to do would be gratefully appreciated. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kelcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, New Castle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant, Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, and Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great weekend. My heart is so, my tears.
fiery blade engaged to lead, he'd break the bravest in the field.
County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.